Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, school choice. Also, Senator Britt offers legislation to protect kids on social media. And Speaker Ledbetter keeps the clowns from owning the circus.
Yeah, can't touch this. Look, man, can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Can't touch this.
Wah, wah, wah. Sad clowns. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt. And as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Hi, guys.
Josh, you reported on this week. Senator Katie Britt, along with a bipartisan group of senators, have come up with legislation to protect kids on social media, something that I think is appropriate, and I'm glad to see that Senator Britt was able to get bipartisan support on this.
Yeah, I was, I've got a little one, and we've looked into this a lot, and there's always a lot of decisions to be made as parents and how you're going to navigate the world of the internet, with tablets and, phones and everything else. And I know these are tough decisions for a lot of parents. And, there's just a growing amount of evidence out there that social media is very harmful, overly impactful for a lot of kids. It creates a lot of terrible situations, causes a lot of depression and anxiety, facilitates bullying to a large extent. Most mental health experts would agree that, kids under the age of 13 probably don't need to be on there. I would say most mental health experts probably agree that most kids all the way up to 17 don't need to be on there. But,
right.
trying to stop that is another chore altogether. But, yeah, my personal opinion is I love this bill. I wish they would do away with all of it. I wish there was a way to ban it all.
Yeah,
I agree.
Susan, go ahead.
Now, I know this is something she's very passionate about, and the other members are. They all have school-aged children, so this is a concern because they have children in these age groups, and they're also watching out for our other little ones that are coming up and the future, because not only are bullying and all that, a lot of companies are targeting young children with their advertising and gathering that information, and it's just not right.
Well, the bill would prohibit it below 13. Mm-hmm. Parental consent would be 13 to 17. Is that correct? And then they would also demand that these companies change their algorithms mm-hmm. to not target that demographic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any kids under 18, they can't be targeted by the algorithms anymore, which is a big thing. That's a big component of this is the targeting that goes on that leads these kids to a lot of different things that they honestly some stuff that they shouldn't see and other things that parents just don't want them to see. And it's a I'm all for this, and I think it's a really, really good bill.
Well, one of the things that we understand on this, and this is actually for people that are older, I mean, we have seen cases of reporters who were so viciously attacked mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. on social media that it was bad for their mental health, and these are grown-ups, but you might get somebody to praise you on an article, and then you get somebody who viciously attacks you. I mean, we've had death threats. We know other staff members have had death threats. Mm-hmm. And, these people hide behind this. I can't imagine what it's like to be a teen where you're already subjected to such cruelty by other kids to actually then have these anonymous people going after you as
well.
And
these are the formative years of these children's lives where they're forming their own self-opinions and their own self-confidence. And to have it torn down like that at an early age where they don't know how to cope with it
is unfair to them.
It's even more sinister, you know. I mean, it's, you know, the algorithms and the way these things are built to attract people and kind of create an addiction almost. And, you know, and it's just, honestly, it's all of this. It's not just children. Because, listen, let's be honest. We got a lot of people with childlike brains running around. You know what I mean? So they're being manipulated as well. And listen, and you know what? I shouldn't say it like that. Because there are also a lot of very smart and intelligent people who have found themselves manipulated by these algorithms and by what they're fed on social media. And it's influenced them. We know people in our lives. All of us know someone who has gone down these rabbit holes of right-wing nonsense or, I mean, in rare cases, left wing nonsense, but mostly right wing nonsense, and they've just been it's almost like they've been recruited and radicalized by some sort of foreign terrorist group, you know. And it's just crazy.
It is absolutely, and it's frightening. It's terribly frightening, and I'm glad that Senator Britt is doing something about it, and Tom Cotton and the other two Democrats that have joined them. Very, very commendable.
There's Murphy, a bill, Brian Chats. I'm giving them a shout out.
Great job. There's a bill that passed in committee this week to automatically engage porn filters or parental control filters on iPhones or whatever mobile devices tablets, and all that. I'm a mixed mind on this. You know, one of the things about Senator Britt's bill is that part of the onus, the biggest onus, is on the parents to do this.
Right.
The other part is for these companies to regulate their algorithm. Here, Representative Sells wants the companies to send these phones to Alabama or sell these phones in Alabama that already have the controls in that their children cannot access pornography on their phones or tablets. Thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like I'm turning into a Republican. I don't have any problems with this. They could come one of two ways, either flipped on or flipped off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as somebody who's often flipped off, I don't have much of a problem with it. You know, if they come to you that way with it already engaged, then a parent can turn it off. Or, you know, a child can figure out in 2 minutes how to do so and they'll turn it off. But it's, you know, really, if they can come one of either way, then why not just turn them on and send them that way?
Well, I'm just worried about some of the older adults that can't figure out how to turn on the phone off.
I understand. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's going to set up a situation where a lot of adults have to go to their kids to get them to turn the porn filter off.
Well, I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't have a problem.
You know it's true.
You know, I've been on computers pretty much all my life, and I don't have any problem with computers or tablets or iPhones or anything like that. You know what I can't figure out? The remote. I can't handle the remote. It's bad. But all in all, two good bills that we hope see some action.
But they still will need this one will also need parental monitoring, because as Josh says, any kid can figure out how to turn it off.
There were no Playboy magazines in our house, but we could find the National Geographic. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology, Advanced Recycling.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. This week, there was the tale of two school choice bills. One ended up in the round file, it looks like, for now. And the other one looks like it might stand a chance. It's been taken out with a substitute. The first bill, Senate Bill 202, sponsored by Larry Stutz, called the Price Act, would have given families almost $7,000 out of the Alabama Education Trust Fund to send their kids to the school of their choice. The problem is, well, there's a lot of problems with it, but one of the biggest problems is it is not school choice. It is taking money out of the Education Trust Fund to give it to people who don't need it to send their kids to private schools, because there is no choice for people to send it. If you live in Troy, Alabama, there's no place to send your kids, because if you want them to go to Montgomery Academy or St. James, you're going to have to drive them an hour and a half to get there, an hour to get there. That's not a choice. Somebody admitted in the hearing, Josh, that this would affect about 2% of Alabama's school-aged children, and somebody pointed out, well, that's about how many already go to private school.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, that's all it is. It's a bill for parents who are already sending their kids to private school. Most of them, I would say, would qualify. We would think of them as wealthier parents. Okay, so you're giving a huge tax break to wealthier parents at the expense of school systems that are struggling all across the state. And as I've said many times, if you want to do actual school choice, where you give students the right to attend any school that they want to attend and provide transportation for free and reduced lunch kids for any school within the county, then I will support that bill 1,000. I'll go and campaign for you on the steps of the state house for that bill, okay, to let kids go and do that. And you can't deny them access. As a matter of fact, you got to give them, as Terry Collins' bill did, that we're going to talk about in a second, you give preferential treatment to kids in high poverty areas. Well, you know what, man? We're talking, but this ain't that, buddy.
No, this is not that.
And this is not going to get your kid in Troy into Mountain Brook either.
No. It's not going to get you into any other school. Anywhere except for the private school that you're going to send these kids to. So what they're actually advocating for is to send your tax dollars to a private company that is completely and utterly unregulated, with no documentation or evidence whatsoever that those schools do a decent job, a better job, a worse job, any kind of a job. There's no way to judge.
And Representative Danny Garrett, who is a very smart guy and probably can afford private school for his kids, he's pointed out that there is no accountability. Once that money leaves the state funds, once it leaves public schools, there's no accountability whatsoever for how it's spent, how these schools are teach, certification. All this is out the window.
And there's no oversight at all for any of it.
We would not do it in any other walk of life at all. We would, people would pitch a fit and go crazy if you proposed this in any other industry in the state.
Mm-hmm. This has been going on for years and years and years, and it's just a way for people to get their hands on billions of dollars in taxpayer money for themselves.
It started out years ago as charter schools. Now it's moved to school choice. I mean, they just keep trying to churn the same
desegregation. It's publicly funded segregation is all it is.
It is segregation.
They're trying to upend desegregation. That's all they're trying to do.
And Josh, you covered the HB 363, which was Terry Collins' bill, and that had a sort of a different flavor to it.
Yeah, this was just a kind of a rework of the charter schools bill, which, you know, I think most people, you know, have mixed feelings about charter schools. I mean, I know I do. I think some charter schools are good if you design them to work within the system of the public schools. And I think that was mostly the aim of the original charter school bills, to a lot of people's chagrin on the right. I think that's what basically came out of it. And so I think this is basically a reworking of this. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's modifying a few things. Okay, I don't want to overstate right. what it's doing here. It's kind of modifying the way the commission members are selected for the charter school commission boards. It allows them to hire some staff and does a few things. There are some issues with it, but as the AEA attorney who was at the hearing and spoke said, they are mostly smaller things that they just feel like need to be tweaked and corrected, yeah. and they can get back to it, because, as they also said, AEA is not against charter schools. They are for good charter schools. They're against bad charter schools, and yeah. I think maybe that's something we should all be able to agree on.
I think so. And that HB 202 Stutz's bill is headed to the toilet, and
as
this bill by Terry Collins is probably going to pass. I want to hit on this thing. You know, there's a bill out there, and these come up fairly often, where they want to mandatory have the national anthem played at schools, mandatory once a week. And, you know, you can ask yourself, is that harmful? Is that unpatriotic and all
this? Is it necessary?
It is not necessary. That's right.
It's just lying.
The thing is...
How about we mandatory have enough books for all the kids? How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, I think the problem I have with it is a little bit probably weird, I guess. But, you know, by the time I was in school, I knew how to raise a flag, lower a flag, say the Pledge of Allegiance, all that stuff. Nobody can sing the national anthem. Well, maybe Aretha Franklin could. But the thing is, what we want to do is say that we're going to compulsory... compulsory patriotism. And I have a problem with that.
And here's what I really have a problem with: the fact that they're wasting time on this when they could be figuring out a better way to provide children that can't afford their school supplies the first of the year to be able to get those supplies to the children, instead of wasting time on this foolishness.
Well, I hesitate to bring this up, but I do want to do it, because every session we hear, if we only had prayer back in school, if we only had God back in school, if we only had the national anthem, if we only had the Pledge of Allegiance, if we only had these things,
all our problems would be going away. Yeah.
Now, in 1970, when the Supreme Court ruled that you could no longer have prayer in school, one of our congressmen from Alabama, George Andrews, who was a congressman in the 70s, voiced his objection to the Supreme Court ruling and said, I want everyone to remember this, they put the Negroes in the schools and now they've driven God out. And I think this goes to the point that if you didn't think we were racist in the 70s, you were a fool. If you don't think there's still racism now, you're a bigger fool. But this is not about patriotism. This is about somebody feeling good that they've done some crazy stuff to make kids obey.
And let's not forget that the last stanza of the national anthem has some racist tones to it.
Oh, you mean that talking about the hireling and the slave? Nah, that's so good. Josh, last word.
I'm just so happy that I'm not the one that's claiming racism this week.
Oh, there you go. All right. It happens once in a while.
Listen, I agree. It happens a lot.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, one time somebody suggested to us that we do these big get-togethers where we get together and we praise lawmakers and have these big events and tell everybody how great they are. And I said, well, you know, over at APR and The V, we're much better at kicking legislators' butts than kissing them. I mean, that's just how we do. I mean, and that's the role of the press is to point out where things go awry. But it also is sometimes our job to point out when people are doing a good job so that we are fair and balanced. How's that for you? And I wanted to say that Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, I think this session is doing a fabulous job of keeping the session focused on issues that move Alabama forward. As I said in the opening, I said, you know, he is keeping the clowns from owning the circus. And I think that's a good thing. And this is his first year as the speaker. And so far, it looked really good, Susan.
It does. He's really focusing on bills that have policy, bills that are good for Alabama. And he's being able to tamp down some of this foolishness that's been going on for the last few years. But he's doing it in his own style and not the Mike Hubbard style of threats and all of this stuff. He's moving in under the radar, keeping a good control, I think, on what's going on.
Josh, I mean, you may not agree with that, but I think you would agree that this session has gone pretty controversy-free so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I would. And I would not disagree with what you said about the way he has been able to navigate some tough things, because I know he's got a lot of, you know, the crazy wing of that party pulling on him a lot of times. And, you know, and I also know that from speaking to some Democratic lawmakers that he's been very open with them. You know, and very willing to talk about, you know, their priorities and work through different situations with them on complicated bills. You know, some of the economic development bills, you know, the Democrats were very, very involved, as you saw, you know, with Anthony Daniels and Bobby Singleton.
Sure.
Sponsoring
right.
Some of that legislation and it going towards rural areas. And so, yeah, I think that they've done a really good job so far of kind of maintaining. You know, and I'll say this is one of the things that they talked about. You know, we had the problems up in Tennessee with those lawmakers up there and how it broke down along racial lines and you know, party lines as well. But, you know, they talked about that privately amongst themselves. And I think both Democrats and Republicans said, you know, we're not really like that. We've got a better relationship, better working relationship. And that's, I think it has to do simply with the amount of respect that has been shown by the leadership, because they could run roughshod over them they've done in Tennessee and care nothing about what they say. But they've taken special care, I think, in a lot of cases to make sure that those black voices are heard, because, again, all of these folks represent a constituency in this state that has a number of Democrats and black folks and white people and Asians and Hispanics. All these folks are your people once you get elected to office.
Yeah.
And don't forget, just because you're a Republican or a Democrat doesn't mean that you represent more or fewer people. Everybody is about the same in what they are in the House of Representatives. So, you know, if you've got a Democrat, that's a chunk. It's just the same as the chunk of a Republican when you're talking about things that affect their life, like economic development.
The thing that I think, and this, I could be just mistaken, but I don't think I am, is that so many of our Republican friends today have learned their politics from watching Fox News for the last two decades.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be a reality. As we saw from the information we learned in the depositions taken in the Dominion voting case versus Fox, they knew they were entertaining. They knew they were lying. They knew they were misleading voters in the most serious ways. And it's just horrendous. I mean, Fox News is no longer a news organization. It is an entertainment organization. It is a propaganda machine. No matter whether you like CNN or not, it is primarily a news organization that has its own brand of propaganda.
Of course.
And that's just the world. That's just the world we live in today. But I think what we're seeing here is serious-minded folks, mm-hmm. like Speaker Ledbetter and Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, mm-hmm. and several others, who have said, "Look, we're going to govern as it's good for Alabama." Mm-hmm. Now, look, the clowns are still there, and they're not leaving, but they have to be dealt with in such a way that they begin to understand that Alabama is not Washington, D.C., and that the way to get things done is to not show your tail on television or talk radio. But some of them won't learn that lesson, will they, Josh?
No, they never will. And you're right. You're right about Fox. And we've seen also from, you know, a lot of those messages back and forth that in a lot of ways they were serving as almost a PR arm of the Republican Party in a lot of ways. And so a lot of what they were doing was not necessarily based on news or what was good for the country or what was right for the story. It was based on what might help further the interest of the party. Right. And so, you know, I think that you're 100% right about how this operates. And the mindset that a lot of people find themselves in. You hear a lot of those talking points seep out of people when they use some of the terms and stuff, you know, the woke nonsense and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It has infected a lot of people. And so I think that's why I said I think they've done a really good job of keeping a lot of that out and tamping down some of the hatefulness and vitriol that's come in a lot of ways and infected politics, even at a local yeah. level now.
Well, and I'm hoping that through leadership, over, you know, responsible leadership like we have now over the next few years, you know, with them just kind of tamping them on the nose with a newspaper, maybe some of this will die down a little bit and they'll get more serious about things that are actually good for Alabama.
And I think that, you know, I go back to what Governor Ivey has said a million times, Alabama solutions to Alabama problems. And I feel like, at least for now, and we're halfway through the session, that's what we're seeing. We're looking at it. I mean, there was one bill I had hoped to get to where they did away with these exorbitant fees where they actually took people's license away if they didn't pay their fines on time. And that was a nice piece of legislation that shows common sense.
I'll tell you what I hope. I hope that a lot of the major players in Alabama politics take a look at this session and say, hey, that's how this is supposed to work. This is how we move things forward. This is how we create better business opportunities for a lot of people and lift a lot of people up. And maybe some of the quote unquote big mules of the state will get behind an effort to promote and push and fund more centralized, normal, sane candidates, whether it be Democrats or Republicans. I'm not saying you got to push one party over the other necessarily, yeah. although I do know that all the Democrats are sane. That's so, you know, just take that into account.
Not all of them.
Okay. Maybe I was overstating.
Yeah, well, you're
but I'm just saying, I think if look at this and, you know, and maybe this be a pathway forward to a more
that
sane governance. How about that?
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. Sane governance. Imagine that. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.